Let's open up with our traditional prayer. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech ha'olam asher kidshenu b'mitzvotav v'tzivanu la'asok b'divrei Torah. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who sanctified us with your commandments and commands us to engross ourselves in the words of Torah. Amen. Well, it would be my great pleasure to share with you from Parshat Naso, but I feel like I should speak from the Haftorah portion tonight. I have prepared a wonderful message that I will bring one day. It was relevant because I want to encourage you to receive gifts from the Holy Spirit. And with Shavuot coming up and our Tuesday night service and prayer time coming up, it's relevant and it's timely. And there's a chance I'll speak about those things tomorrow. And if you want to hear about them, you can. I did not actually prepare a message on the subject I'm going to be speaking about, but the text speaks for itself. And so I want to ask you, if you have a Bible with you, to turn to the Haftorah portion for this week, to Judges chapter 13. And we're going to work our way through a passage that is absolutely stimulating. It is the story of the birth of Samson or Shimshon. But it's not primarily about Samson that I want to speak. It does talk about the Nazarite vow which he took and the strength and dedication that came into his life because of that. And that's not what I want to speak about. It talks about his parents who were seeking to have a child and were willing to dedicate their son to the Lord. But that's not what I want to talk about. I want to speak about this passage because many times I have found a curious, even an open or seeking Jewish person who says, I just need to know one thing. Where can I find Yeshua in the Tanakh? And, you know, it would be a whole lot easier if we could answer that question. And this Haftorah portion can help us in a certain way. And I want to encourage you to read along with me and then to read for yourselves later this passage, which is profoundly messianic and gives to us an understanding of the nature of Yeshua, his identity and the way that he manifests himself, and the bewildering effect he has on people sometimes. Now, I happen to have with me a Hebrew English Bible whose print is way too small for this amount of light in my eyes, even though I have trifocal contact lenses on. I actually need telescopic vision to read this. But I'm going to do my best to read it, and I'm going to supplement it with my iPhone Tanakh, which has a little bit bigger print, but it uses the JPS, the Jewish Publication Society translation from 1917, which, though Jewish, was inspired in some ways by the King James, believe it or not, and uses thous and these and arts and such stuff as that. And so I'll try to filter some of those out because they sound a bit archaic, even though they can be beautiful. And Eric has, I mean, we are technologically advanced today.
Is that big enough?
That's almost big enough. If you can get that, Eric has a Kindle. That is amazing. Terrific. Okay. If I can master this. So I've got three Bibles in front of me. And between them, I should be able to read something that you can understand and that I can understand. We're in Judges chapter 13. And it says, we'll start in verse 1. The children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Philistines for 40 years. And now there was a certain man from Zerah of the family of the Danites whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren and she had no children. Okay, you got that condition. Many times when God wants to do something extraordinary, he takes people who are in a condition of difficulty and he uses them in order to authenticate his sovereign will in their lives and to give them what they could not give to themselves. And often when God is trying to bring forth a special child, there is a period of barrenness and it's physically impossible, even medically impossible, for a couple to bring forth. And thus you have Abraham and Sarah conceiving under such circumstances. You have many others who do so. And this is just one such couple. And then we pick up in verse 3, without any introduction, it says, and the angel of the Lord appeared to the woman. And the angel of the Lord. And let me see if I can pull up in the Hebrew that phrase here. It's Malach Hashem, Malach Adonai. Malach is angel or the one who is sent. And it can be used to describe a human messenger or what we would call an angel. And in this case, when it says an angel of the Lord, it uses that Hebrew Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, which we often in Jewish circles call Hashem, the name. And it is the four-letter precious name of God from which come some certain pronunciations like Jehovah or Yahweh, which I don't typically use. The angel of the Lord appeared to the woman and said to her, and I want you to try to read this passage with me with an open mind. Don't try to jump to conclusions, but do try to pull out some details, which if you look carefully at will be 100% clear to you. For instance, this one, the angel of the Lord appeared. Now, what does appear mean? Can you tell me? Speak up. All of you together. It sounds up here like, blah, blah, blah. I guess I shouldn't ask it that way. Revealed himself. Right. Another way of saying it.
Appeared.
Appeared. Right.
Visible.
Became visible. Exactly. Exactly. When he revealed himself, when he appeared, he became visible. You know what that means? With the natural eyes, he could be seen. The angel of the Lord became visible and appeared to the woman. When it says appeared, it makes it really clear. This is not a dream. It's not a vision. This is not a spiritual experience that's separated from physical reality. And then he said to her. Now, when it uses this word, he said to her, let's just take the time to make sure we understand that that means he spoke and she heard. Again, this is an action that is happening in the physical world, not just the spiritual world. So now we learn something about this mysterious figure, the angel of the Lord. He can become physically visible. And he can speak and he can be heard. And when he speaks, he doesn't just give impressions, but he uses words that can be understood in their normal sense. The angel of the Lord appeared to the woman. It tells us one more thing. He appeared to the woman. It was an intentional visit. And it was a personal visit. Not only could the woman see the angel of the Lord, but it was the plan of the angel of the Lord to be seen. So this tells us something, that the angel of the Lord has ability to come to people who aren't expecting the angel of the Lord, who don't have prior experience, who haven't been seeking the angel of the Lord, but the angel of the Lord, according to his own will and according to his own assignment, comes to a person with a purpose and says to her, indeed, now you are barren and you have borne no children, but you shall conceive and bear a son. Okay, so now we know something else about the angel of the Lord. The angel of the word has personal knowledge about an individual's future. Knowledge that, as we read on, can normally only be ascribed to God himself. That the angel of the Lord knows what God knows about a person. Not just the external fact that anyone who was intimate with this woman, knew her personally, would know that she is barren, but something that neither that woman nor others could know, and that is that she will conceive. And you will bear a son. Now you could say there's a 50-50 chance, son or daughter. But it's not 50-50 chance. This is a specific message for the specific person. You are going to conceive. It's impossible for you to conceive, but you will conceive. And you're going to have a son. Now, therefore, please be careful not to drink wine or similar drink. Isn't that interesting? Only lately has it become clear to modern science that pregnant women shouldn't drink wine. Drink no wine or strong drink, and eat nothing unclean, for behold, you shall conceive and bear a son. No razor shall come upon his head, for the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb, and he shall begin to save Israel from the hand of the Philistines. So now we know something. The angel of the Lord understands Israel's future as well, and God's intentions for Israel. That there has been a generation that has been under the torment of the Philistines because of evil that was taking place among the Jewish people, and the time for that torment had come. He shall begin to save Israel from the hand of the Philistines. And then the woman came and told her husband. Now this part is really challenging. A man of God came to me. A man of God came to me. Okay, now we have to ask ourselves a question. Is she out of her mind? Is she unable to report accurately what had just happened? It was not a man of God. Who was it? The angel of Hashem. And yet, she says it was a man of God. Why does she say it was a man of God? Because he looked like a man. That's right. So now we know something about the angel of the Lord. That though he comes as the angel of the Lord, he looks like a man. And it's easy to confuse, you could say. Or, not that, that when you see the angel of the Lord, if you have such a privilege, you see the angel of the Lord, but you also see a man. You see him in his angelic, if you will, in his glorified nature, but you see him in a human way as well. Do you follow that? The Hebrew is unambiguous. See, this is one of the situations where all these translations are accurate according to the Hebrew because it uses a very specific term, Ish HaElohim, a man of God. Ish is always used for man. Elohim is used. It's not in this case Yod Hey Vav Hey Hashem. It is HaElohim. It's a man of God came to me. Now the next statement, the second half of her statement is also a little bit bewildering. And his appearance was like the appearance of the angel of God. And look at the last comment. Very awesome. A man of God came to me, but he looked like the angel of the Lord. He appeared and he looked like the angel of the Lord. Now, how would she know what the angel of the Lord is supposed to look like? Ask yourself this question. How could she possibly know? His face was awesome, but how could she know? I'll give you my explanation. That among the Jewish people, there was already enough experience of visitations of the angel of the Lord. That it was, if you will, common knowledge that the angel of the Lord looks a certain way. And that when he comes as a man, and yet he's the angel of the Lord. That, I think, can be based on a similar episode in the life of Abraham, where the angel of the Lord appears. But he looks like a man. And he eats like a man. And I don't think that was the only other experience. There were many other experiences. And so, if you have eyes to see and ears to hear, you can see something in this passage, and that is, this woman is talking not just about her experience, but she's talking to others and saying, the angel of the Lord appeared to me. He looked like a man, and that would sound reasonable to another Jew. It's important to see this and to go slowly enough that you see it. Because there may be a day when someone is going to say to you, well, I could believe if you could just show me one place in the Tanakh, in the Jewish scriptures, where someone who has all the character of Yeshua appears. You may have to take him to this passage. He was very awesome. I did not ask him where he was from, and he did not tell me his name. Isn't that interesting? It tells you something about the nature and the character of the angel of the Lord, and that is, he's a bit mysterious. And he keeps his comings and goings to himself. He doesn't at this point reveal where he's from, and he doesn't reveal his name. He's keeping that hidden. But, he said to me, behold, you shall conceive and bear a son, so then drink no wine or strong drink, eat nothing unclean, for the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb to the day of his death. And then Manoah prayed to the Lord and said, O Lord, please let the man of God, whom you sent, come again to us. It's the angel of the Lord. But he's praying, oh God, please let it be that the man of God comes. You see, within the Jewish mind of this time, there was comfort in seeing both sides simultaneously. Angel of the Lord, man of God. And not trying to resolve it. There's no explanation for how they see it like this. It's just a matter of fact. And I love verse 9. And God listened to the voice of Manoah. And the angel of God came again. Now, it's even more twisted, if you will. Manoah doesn't pray that the angel of the Lord will come. He prays what? That the man of God will come. But God listened to the voice of Manoah, and the angel of God came again. Now you might say, I don't get, you know, why you're making this such a big deal. It's because it is a big deal. The two sides of the angel of God, one is divine and one is human. In its visibility, in its nature, in its identity, it's woven into the story and perfectly clear, even though it's not explained. It's described. God listened to the voice of Manoah. The angel of God came again to the woman as she sat in the field, but Manoah, her husband, was not with her. And so the woman ran quickly and told her husband, behold, the man who came to me the other day has appeared to me. Where it says man, it uses the Hebrew word ish, not malach, which it uses for angel. Okay, so God sends the angel, but the angel is a man. You still with me? And you might say, well, I already understand all this stuff. I'm a messianic. I believe these things. I'm not questioning whether you understand or not. I'm trying to show you something that's going to be read tomorrow in synagogues all over the world. Right before Shavuot. Maybe in some synagogues it'll have an impact. Verse 11, and Manoah arose and went after his wife and came to the man and said to him, are you the man who spoke to this woman? And he said, I am. Sounds a little familiar, doesn't it? Are you the man? I am. And Manoah said, now when your words come true, what is to be the child's manner of life and what is his mission? And the angel of the Lord, okay, do you see? Are you the man? Yes. And the angel of the Lord said to Manoah, of all that I said to the woman, let her be careful. She may not eat of anything that comes from the vine, neither let her drink wine or strong drink or eat any unclean thing. All that I command her, let her observe. Manoah, verse 15, said to the angel of the Lord, please let us detain you and prepare a young goat for you. Okay, now, take care. The angel of the Lord can eat. But he doesn't want to. Verse 16, the angel of the Lord said to Manoah, if you detain me, I will not eat of your food. And if you prepare a burnt offering, then offer it to Hashem. Okay, now get this, because this is even a little bit confusing here. Because Manoah did not know that he was the angel of the Lord. He is so much a man, this one who's appeared, that even though it's the angel of the Lord, he looks so much like a man that Manoah, who even had prayed that this man would come, sees a man. And Manoah said to the angel of the Lord, what is your name? So that when your words come true, we may honor you. And the angel of the Lord said to him, why do you ask my name, seeing that it is wonderful? If you think about Isaiah 11, I think it is, or Isaiah 9, where it talks about a child is going to be born. The government will be on his shoulders. Mighty Counselor. Now, who else is called Counselor? The Holy Spirit especially. And his name will be Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God. So the angel says, my name is Wonderful. And he uses a Hebrew word that is used, a form of it is used in synagogues every week in the Michamocha. Michamocha ba'alima denai, Michamocha nedar ba'kodesh, osei fele. It's a form of the word fele, which is translated as wonders. And this is a form of that in which the name is Wonderful. Why do you ask my name, seeing it is Wonderful? The implication is you're not going to know the name, but the name is Wonderful. And there's only one who's known as Wonderful. And then look at the alliteration that follows. So Manoah took the young goat with the grain offering and offered it on the rock to the Lord, to the one who works wonders, Osef Feleh. And Manoah and his wife were watching. And when the flame went up toward heaven from the altar, the angel of the Lord went up in the flame of the altar. Now that is awesome. Is it not? If that happened in front of you, you wouldn't forget. If that was taking place at the point where you're finding out that you're going to have a child in the near future, you know you would tell your son, you're a strange bird. and you have strange origins. Your life is not going to be like everybody else's. Okay, so the angel of the Lord, the man of God, who physically appears, goes up in the flame and rises up into the heavens. Noah and his wife were watching, and they fell on their faces to the ground. Now, think about this. When Yeshua, the resurrected Yeshua, was ready to return to heaven, do you remember what happened? Everyone fell to the ground. They worshiped. And the angel of the Lord appeared no more to Manoah and to his wife. And then Manoah knew that he was the angel of the Lord. Now, here's where it gets even tougher. Verse 22. Okay, Manoah, who finally understands it's not just a man, it's the angel of the Lord. Because men don't go up in flames like that. Manoah says to his wife, okay, this is the nature of the awe that's stirring in him. But it's also a statement about the experience they just had. We shall surely die because we have seen God. Look like a man. Realized it was the angel of the Lord. It turned out all along it was God. Now, I'm not adding anything here to what the text says. Do you agree? The text speaks for itself. And it presents for us a picture of the angel of the Lord, the man of God who is God. So when someone says to you, I don't buy this business, God coming as a man, I say, I don't blame you. But we're taught to be open to it. I don't buy this idea that God can be a man and God. We Jews don't believe that. Well, Manoah believed it. Now, there is one way, of course, to get rid of Yeshua from this whole passage. And that is to deny all the details. And you can say, where it says angel of the Lord, it doesn't mean angel of the Lord. Where it says man of God, it doesn't mean man of God. And when it says we saw God, it doesn't mean we saw God. In other words, if you take your scissors and you cut out all the facts, or you say they could not mean what they say. If someone does that, then you understand that they understand what it says. When someone wants to remove something from the scriptures, there's usually a reason for it. It's because what it says goes against what they believe. We shall surely die. We've seen God. It's not even an angel of a God. It's not even a man of God. You don't die for that. But they realize it wasn't just an angel. And it wasn't just the holy man, it was God revealing himself in this way. And his wife said to him, she understands mercy. If the Lord had meant to kill us, he would not have accepted a burnt offering and a grain offering at our hands or shown us all these things or now announced to us such things as these. Now we know something else about the angel of the Lord, the man of God who is God. And that is, he comes in this way so that people can experience God and not die. And the woman bore a son and called his name Samson. And the young man grew, and the Lord blessed him, and the Spirit of the Lord began to stir him in Mahanadan between Zerah and Eshtaol. What a great Haftorah passage for Messianic Jews, for even for Rabbinic Jews. You know, My prayer right now, if you would join me, is let's pray that tomorrow when this is read in synagogues all over the world, and it will be, that it is opened up and that sense is made of it and that it is allowed to speak for itself. Lord, I thank you that your word is provocative and you do things that are bewildering to us and that we could not understand if we did not have a personal relationship with you. Lord, I thank you for your Holy Spirit who makes wise those who are simple. I thank you for your Holy Spirit who reminds us of all that you taught when you walked on this earth as Yeshua. I thank you for redemption. I thank you for hope. I thank you for the victory that faith has. And I pray, Lord, that Judges 13 would become strong in the hands of Messianic Jews, that we would use this well to open up your word to our people Israel. In Yeshua's name I pray. Amen. Amen. What a fantastic passage. Take time with it yourself. Work with it. Read it. Read it many different ways. Ask questions. Make sure you get the details right. Think it through. Work it. Look at it in the Hebrew as well. If you aren't good with Hebrew, then go to the Hebrew Marathon. It'll give you a start. If you're learning Hebrew, work on this passage. Try to read it in Hebrew and in English. It will help you. Let's close with Aaron's blessing. Would you please stand? Yivarechecha Adonai v'yishmerecha, Ye'er Adonai p'navei lecha v'yuchunecha, Yisa Adonai p'navei lecha v'yasem lecha shalom. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep watch over you and protect you. The Lord cause the light of his radiant face to shine upon you. The Lord be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his face to you and give you his shalom. In the name of Yeshua, the Prince of Peace. Amen. Amen. Shabbat shalom.